All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Hetty, and as usual, I've got my good friend Rod Fox over here. How's it going, Rod?
Good morning, Tim. It's going real well. We had a great week at work. Kids are back to school.
Thank God.
Yeah. Certain parts of the country are getting inundated. I know areas of Tennessee got like 6 inches of rain in certain areas. Oh, yeah. East Coast got pounded. Apparently, they're saving it all for them, and we're not in the...
I never hear about these things. They save this information and they probably publish it in hour-long blocks of programming called the news.
Yeah, well, actually, I was talking to one of the network dealers from Tennessee, and he was telling me that he had gotten a call from. I was at a training earlier this week, and he said, "Yeah, got a call from the office. 6 inches of rain in 4 hours."
Wow.
Yes.
So they're pretty busy down there, waterproofing basements and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, the ground can't accept 6 inches of water in 4 hours.
I don't think it can accept much of anything now. But
yeah, even as dry as it is, 6 inches in 4 hours is going to it's going to cause some flooding.
Right.
There's just no way that the ground can absorb that kind of moisture that quick. So, but around here, things are going good.
You know,
a little dry yet, but
I was I live out in the country, as you know, and there's cornfields and bean fields and everything all around me.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of the guys that does the farming there, and I want to go on record. This is not a crop report, and I don't know anything about farming or anything like that.
The crop report.
But he said he was getting 200 bushels of corn an acre.
There are certain areas of Iowa.
That's my phone going off. I'm going to ignore that call, even though it's my wife.
There are certain areas where the crops aren't doing too bad. I've got a brother-in-law up in the northeast part of and he said it's not going to be as good this year for him.
Yeah.
And I know that...
Now, what does that mean? It's not as good, meaning, hey, I'm like a little bit shy or...
Yeah, the ears did not produce the kernel count that they had normally been looking for. And when that happens, obviously their bushel per acre is down. So even though there's the same number of stocks, the stocks don't produce as many ears. The ears aren't as big. They aren't as big around. And the kernel count, which I'm new to this anyhow, is the number
it's
from...
It's like the idiot's crop report going on here,
Yeah, on the ear itself from the base, where it actually connects into the stock down to the tip, the number of rows that you have and then the circumference going around the number of... So it's, it was news to me. And as he explained it, he said, when they go out and they check their crops, that's what they do. They pull back, some of the husk and do a quick count, and if that's kind of the average, mathematically they can kind of figure, what their anticipated bushel per acre is going to be.
Luckily, corn's like $300 a bushel, so, a lot of them have it insured, too, so if they fall too far below. So.
Yeah, I was watching the news. They said that the farm bill hasn't passed in the federal Congress yet, so there's some anticipation there of what that may do to some of the family farms. I'm saying if you haven't overextended yourself as a business owner, you are prepared, and you can answer this too. You are prepared for the economic changes and the environmental changes because let's face it, you own a business that is has a direct correlation with the weather. A farmer, same type thing.
At Midwest Basement Systems, we're pretty fiscally responsible, shall we say. I mean, we really try to protect that. There's 60 people working there.
Right.
60 families rely on that company. So it would be a little irresponsible for me, I think, to not pay attention to that to a certain degree.
Yeah, and so I say to those people who are business owners and in the farming industry also, as long as you haven't overextended yourself, you are prepared for the ups and downs, the weather pattern changes. The minute you can look at the federal government to turn around and go, hey, it really wasn't that great of a year. How about you cut me a check for the balance? And then you're looking at everybody else going, hey, I made some mistakes, but you folks won't mind helping me out,
right? Exactly.
But if we keep going down that road, it's gonna go bad. So.
Well, how many waterproofers do you see going in and out of business every year?
Yeah,
I mean, basement waterproofers, and the unfortunate part about it is, they have a couple good years, and everything goes on a cycle. You have a couple few good years. Next thing you know, you're out there with a brand new truck, new shop, all this stuff. but you owe everything that you have to the bank.
Right.
And, yeah, it's a tough business anyways.
Yeah.
You know, some of the best years we've had have been on, you know, like 09,
yeah.
10, you know.
Well, and, you know, but that's the seasonal change. I mean, and when we don't have as much moisture, you know, our company benefits in other areas of foundation repair because that's the affected problem that people face.
Right.
You know, before I showed up here, you know, I was at a customer's house. She had had some issues with foundation, but nothing like it's happened this year, and the whole foundation is settling. You know, she's, you know, we got to talking about what the financial costs were going to be, and I said, you know, it's one of those things most people don't set money aside for. You know, it's like, boy, I should, you know, just in the case of the future, I should have an emergency fund in case my foundation settles. You know,
right.
People don't look at it that way. However, I am a firm believer of having an emergency fund of money set aside because life is going to...
Something's going to happen
yeah.
sooner or later, you know. And,
yeah.
Again, we're not really dispensing financial advice on this show. But,
no.
You know, you see so many people more or less living check to check. And,
right.
you know, depending on your circumstances, it's kind of a dangerous situation to be in.
Well, you know, I heard one guy, a speaker one time, talk about, you know, financially we're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, or about to go into a crisis. So, I mean, if
okay.
you think of it that way, you yeah. realize that, you know, because life happens. You know, you're always going to have some kind of an event that's going to have a negative impact on
right.
your financial.
What happens if your transmission goes out in your car?
Exactly.
You know, anything
right.
can happen. Your refrigerator goes out. Your
that's
furnace
right.
goes out. If your furnace goes out in the wintertime, guess what? You got to do something about it.
So,
you don't have a choice.
Yeah, absolutely. So having money set aside, you know, that you aren't going to dip into because, boy, you know, I just really think I need that new TV. You know, that's the kind of
yeah.
thing that, you know, if you're talking about, you know, saving money for, excuse me, for events that happen that we can't anticipate. The one thing we can anticipate is that they are going to happen, so
right.
I should have some money set aside.
Well,
so,
and, you know, mm-hmm. talk about crisis if you've got kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anybody that thinks that health care is going to get cheaper and more accessible, just
yeah.
wait around a couple of years.
Yeah.
talk
yeah.
to somebody from Canada.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to need more money.
Yeah.
That's all
absolutely.
There is to it.
Absolutely. So,
anyways, enough about that. I don't know how we got off on that, but a couple of few weeks ago, we were talking about air purifiers and ways to get rid of moisture and contaminants in your home.
Right.
And then we had the gentleman
Gary
Hull in from Smart.
Well, it was. You know, the name of their company, I can't remember. But
real memorable.
yeah.
No,
well,
he's a good guy, and he's got a great product, and I will bring the stuff in next week.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, we kind of said a few weeks ago, okay, you know, anybody that doesn't agree with us, feel free to call us and challenge us. And I'm still
right.
saying that because we're going to go through some things today, and we're going to talk about some products, and I'm going to be point blank and blunt about this because
yeah.
I do not believe in these products, and I do not believe they work.
Right.
And I think some of their claims are nothing short of outrageous.
Right.
And
what
it,
you know, and again, at the end of this, these segments where we talk about the products, or at least the building science behind how...
We're going to talk about the products. We're not going to talk
yeah.
about the companies.
Well,
because
no,
I don't
not,
really...
Exactly.
For one thing, I don't want to get sued. And for
right.
another thing, you know...
Because there's many companies out here that produce
yeah,
this
Yeah, there's
type
more than
of,
one. And if, again, if somebody has any kind of question or any kind of don't agree with something we said,
right.
Please give us a call. Myself or Rod, either one at Midwest Basement Systems. You can come in. We can draw pictures on the wall. We can do whatever it takes to show you that the building science does not support the claims that these guys are
right.
making.
Right. And with anything, you know, we're so upfront to tell you that, you know, even if you disagree with us or questioning us, please go out and research it yourself.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
There is a wealth of information out there to back up the claims that we're saying. And we, like I say, being a student of building science, you know, when we read some of the claims that are being done, and it's just like, you know, somebody trying to come in and tell you, hey, you know, the sun rises in the west and sets in the east. And you're like, well, I don't know where,
so.
What planet you're on, but, you know, it just doesn't happen that way. So, yeah, we're going to kind of debunk a few of these claims that are out there.
You know, and I feel strongly enough about this that I was talking to our radio, one of our advertising reps from the radio group that I heard this on, because they're advertising on the radio, and I said, you know, I have to come off that station. If I'm on that station, I have to come off that station. That's all there is to it. I do not want our reputation damaged somehow because these guys make claims that they can dry up a basement. And, you know, on the next segment, we're going to get into some of these things. But, you know, there's just – it just doesn't work that way.
Right. I mean, simple air exchange is, you know, as far as keeping a basement dry, is one of the most outrageous claims I've ever heard. And, you know, it's I can't imagine, you know, how someone would even test to be able to say that this could happen, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, and, you know, we're going to, in my opinion, sealing up your house and cleaning your air. I'm not talking about purifying it.
Right.
With some kind of magic stuff. I'm talking about actually cleaning it, filtering it.
Right.
Making it more breathable. You know,
right.
Making
conditioning
the home,
that
conditioning
air.
Your air. So, anyways, well, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with more around the house. And when we come back, we're going to talk about these items. So gather all your friends and relatives and neighbors and get them all around the radio and get your pen and paper. And, you know,
we're even
going to give you our phone number at the end of this.
Sure.
So if you don't agree with us, you can just give me a call. So anyways, we'll be right back. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and as promised, we're going to talk about some products that, in our view, do more harm than good. And now, again, and I'll bring the information back next week, and we'll talk positively about one of the companies that does, you know, air cleaning in a house.
Right.
Because everything that's out there is not bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the impression.
Yeah, we're not talking about the molecular change that happens during a process, you know, that Gary Hull had been talking about a couple of weeks or so ago. This is something completely different. We're now talking about how building science can is going to disprove some of these claims about, you know, issues that are existing in a home.
Let's jump right into it. I'm trying to think of a good name for this product without
How about an air exchanger?
Okay, an air exchanger. So what we've got is we've got where we go down in the basement, we drill a hole in what's called the box sill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The box sill is above the wall but below the floor upstairs. So we drill a hole, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches, 6 inches, whatever. Then we hook a vent up. And this vent has, from there, there's a hose. It's probably a 6-inch round tube that hangs all the way down to the floor. And essentially, here's their thinking on this. I understand their thinking. I just don't agree with it. Their thinking is, okay, there's always more moisture closer to the basement floor. Okay? And they're right. There is moisture closer to the basement floor. They say it's because moisture makes the air heavier. Therefore, it sinks to the basement floor. Okay, so far you're following me, right?
I am.
I mean, if you didn't know better, you would follow what I'm saying.
Yeah.
As we all know, water vapor is lighter than air, and it does rise. And that's why we see clouds up in the sky. I think the other day the cloud ceiling was like 11,000 feet. not in our basement, okay?
Right.
The reason that there is more moisture closer to the floor is because the temperature is cooler.
Right.
Okay. That's just a simple physical fact about your basement. The cooler you make the air, the more moisture the air will hold per volume. Okay. So basically, if you take a cubic foot of air at 80 degrees and you cool it down to 60 degrees, that cubic foot shrinks, so it's not a cubic foot anymore, but it still holds the same water. So by volume, the water in that cube of air is a lot higher. So for every 1 degree that you cool the air, you raise the relative humidity 2.2%.
Correct.
So you're following me so far, okay? That it's, yes, it is more, there's more moisture down there. No question about it, but it is because of the physical properties of a basement. It's simply cooler at the basement floor than it is up in the attic. So their theory is, okay, well, we're hanging this tube down. We're going to draw all this moisture out of the basement and kick it outside. Sounds good so far, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Okay, well,
for the uneducated person who doesn't understand building science, Yeah, you could draw some kind of an inference to that.
Okay. So we're drawing this moist air out of our basement, kicking it outside. It's happening at a pretty good clip. I mean, it's moving a lot of air. That's the theory. Now, let's talk about what's wrong with this theory. Number one, you're depressurizing the basement.
Right.
So if you've got gravity appliances down there, like your water heater, fireplace, furnace, anything that's gravity, meaning it's got a tube that goes up to the attic and goes out the house, that's an exhaust.
Yes.
You know, there's harmful toxins going through that exhaust.
Right.
We start drawing it back into the basement. All of a sudden, all these harmful toxins are in our basement.
Correct.
You know, so things are not flowing correctly. Your furnace, let's say it's good, it's not carbonating or anything, but you're drawing the carbonating or the carbon dioxide back into the home.
That's right.
If anybody's living in the basement, this could potentially be tragic. That's one drawback for this. Okay, now let's talk about the building science itself. Okay, Rod, I go to your basement. I suck out all the air from the basement floor from around the, you know, the let's say that I take the bottom foot of air just to throw these out there, and I suck it out of the basement and throw it outside.
Right.
Okay. That doesn't erase this area.
No.
Now this cubic volume of air has to be replaced. So this cubic volume of air has to be replaced from air that's further up in the basement. Further up you go, the higher the temperature gets because it's not as cool.
Right.
So we're taking the warmer air, we're taking it down to the floor, we're cooling it off, we're raising the relative humidity. I.e., we've got the same problem. At best, it doesn't solve the problem.
You know, and what they're saying with this, the cubic volume air exchange flow would have to be so great to accomplish this. I mean, we're talking,
well,
to get the kind of draw that they're talking about to create the airflow to dry the building products out. We're not just talking, you know, we're talking about this one area of these box fan that's drawing this, you know, this out. And you're talking about a very large basement.
Here we go. Now, these units will range from, I don't know if it's this particular unit or what, range from about 40 cubic foot of air to about 180 cubic foot of air. And this is the crawl space version.
Okay.
But absolutely, you're right. It would have to move so much air so quickly. So
right.
you've... At my house, you know, my daughter has allergies real bad. I've talked about that on the show before. There is never a time throughout the year where all of our windows are open and the screens are. So we've paid to condition the air no matter what.
Right.
And I think that's pretty much the case with most people. There might be a few select months where you can actually open the windows and let your house breathe. But generally, you're conditioning the air. You're either heating it or cooling it or whatever.
And you're right. To get to where you're headed with this, folks, you also have to understand that to create, and this getting back to my point, that the airflow, the air exchange down in the basement, that negative draw to one location, to one single location. We're not blowing from across one side of the house and sucking it out of the house, you know, doing it this. So you're creating this. All you're doing is drawing air from one location. And you're not drawing it at such a great rate that creates this negative air pressure to the extent where you can literally dry your building products out, dry the concrete out, which is another one of the statements that is made here, that it would allow you to have a moisture-free basement. And where you were headed with this is, okay, that top or that bottom foot of air all the way across your basement has to be replaced. You know, they're saying it needs to be drawn down from upstairs. Well, that air has to be replaced.
Yeah, and then so that air comes from the attic or from the second
outside.
Floor. It doesn't make any difference. If you remove 40 cubic foot of air from your home every minute, 40 to 180,
where's that air coming from?
Somewhere have to replace it from somewhere. So let's draw a scenario real quick. Let's say that it's 60 degrees at the basement floor. It's probably closer to 55, but let's just say 60. It makes the math easy. And incidentally, the temperature of the ground in the first 4 feet is usually the average of the yearly temperature. So you divide up the temperature every day. You divide it by 365. That's usually, unless there's some other properties happening. But so at the floor level in the basement, we're looking at 60 degrees. Outside, it is 80 degrees. Just picking out simple numbers here.
Yeah.
And 80 degrees, I mean, we're in September, but we're going to see some more of that probably. Mm-hmm. But let's say that we're in June or July, and it's just humid as all get out, okay? So we've got 80 degrees outside, and let's just say 80% relative humidity. Not particularly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But so we bring that air into our house. Again, we're expelling 40 cubic feet of air. We have to replace it with cubic.
It comes from the outside.
It has to
unless,
come from outside.
Unless, of course, outside. This, you know, these companies want to have the clean air, allergen-free truck sitting out there pumping that quality conditioned air back into your house,
right.
Which we know isn't happening.
Right.
You know.
So we take this 80 degrees, we cool it down 20 degrees because now it's in the basement.
Right.
Eventually, through the layers of your house, through whatever, you have to agree that eventually it has to cool off 20 degrees.
Right.
So it cools off 20 degrees, and it raises the relative humidity 2.2 degrees for every 1 degree that the temperature gets lowered.
Right. So we're creating a higher relative humidity environment in our
right.
basement.
So we've created, what's the easy math, 20 times 2.2?
44%.
44%. More. We've added 44% to already 80% humidity.
Yeah.
Now, what have we done, Rod? Simply, we've made it rain. It's got to condensate somewhere. We've made it rain.
Yeah.
Okay, we've added moisture. We've actually defeated our purpose here.
I've seen these units in operation. I've had customers that have said, would you tear this out and just throw it away when you guys come in and do your waterproofing? And absolutely, we'll take care of it.
Sure.
Because, and I ask, you know, the customers, is it what, you know, what was the biggest selling point, the reason that you bought this? And they said, because we were told that, you know, the moist air down in our basement was supposed to be gone.
Right.
I said, so you were led to believe that it was going to dehumidify, right?
We got to get to a break. We're going to come back from our break, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. This is important stuff, because there's nothing worse than buying a product and it doesn't perform the way it's supposed to.
Right.
So we're going to be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking about basement ventilation systems as they relate to moisture. Personally, I don't like air exchangers of any kind, but, you know, some guys try to make the case that you need them because your house is too tight, and I say that's counterproductive, but...
Yeah, well, getting back to my story, when I was talking about the people that I've spoken to who had purchased these air exchangers, and then I asked them, I said, what was the selling point? And they were led to believe that this was going to dehumidify their basement. So they wouldn't have the relative humidity, and it absolutely did not do any of it. They, you know, I asked them, I said, did you talk to the sales rep? Yes, I called. You know, they told us that, you know, we had other issues in our basement that was creating these problems, and we probably should look at fixing those. Well,
like what? The physical properties of a basement? The fact that it's made out of concrete?
Well, that's just
which
it.
Which things are they talking about?
Well, that's just it. That, you know, they didn't really have a great answer for the customer because, A, they did have a waterproofing problem that they needed to get fixed. This is one of the reasons I came in there. You know, but the statements and the claims that were made during the purchase was that, you know, give our unit, it'll dry your basement up, all the building products will dry up, all these things, you know, so the customer was led to believe that the level of satisfaction that they were going to have by the introduction of this unit was almost just a wow factor. You know, I was going to be wowed by how well it worked, and absolutely not. You know?
And some of I'm just going to call these outrageous claims. I'm not going to state the name of this company or anything like that. We're not a consumer watchdog group. We're just trying to talk about the building science here. But, you know, on the information that I gave you, if you look on the first page there, I mean, it's actually got a picture of a wood floor that's all buckled up.
Yeah.
Pergo or whatever it is.
Does this happen in a basement? Absolutely.
Absolutely it happens.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't happen because you don't have enough air movement.
That's exactly right. Know?
It is a moisture-related issue, but this product is not going to get you over that. There's it's not even physically possible.
Right.
The only scenario where this product would lower the humidity in a basement is if it's cold outside and there's very little humidity in the air. Right. We're bringing in freezing cold air into the air that we had to heat. So we're bringing in freezing cold air. We're raising the temperature. Thereby, the opposite effect happens. The air expands. Less relative humidity.
You know, and that's just, you know, there's a three-step process when they talk about these air exchanges. A is to expel, two is to replenish, and three is to ventilate. Well, you know, to me it sounds ridiculous to make that claim anyhow. When you expel, you know, when you expel the air, in other words, we're blowing the conditioned or the air that I have down in my basement out.
The air that you bought, the air that you had to pay for.
Right. And now I'm replenishing it. And the claim is that you're going to raise the temperature in your basement by bringing conditioned air down. Now, you have to understand, the Earth's ground temperature is always going to be somewhere between 55 and 62 degrees.
Right.
It's like its own little air conditioning or, you know, or refrigeration unit. You can't warm the Earth by bringing down, you know, 75 or 80 degree air into your basement that all of a sudden is going to look at, you know, your foundation and say, I can get my concrete block now to 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. Because that's the claim that they're making. No, you're combating a very large volume of air in the basement that's continuously being cooled by the Earth's temperature. I mean, hands down, you're never going to be able to warm up the soil conditions around your foundation.
No, it's just not. It's
impossible. Right. That's why when you go up and you touch the concrete floor in your basement, you touch the concrete walls, guess what? It's always going to be cool to the touch. You're never going to go, wow, that's nice and warm.
Well, and, you know, here's a perfect example. You know, I know that you've been in flooded basements,
yes,
Rod, and I've certainly been in them because that's just what we do. Go downstairs. And, you know, I don't know if I should even tell people to do this, but go downstairs and take the lid off your sump pump and stick your hand in there or stick your feet in there.
Yeah.
And see how long you can take it.
Yeah.
It is cold water.
Cold water.
You know, you're not going to be able to warm this water up.
No.
It's just, your feet are not going to do it.
That's just it. You know, so the claim that you can raise the temperature in your basement by replenishing from air upstairs means that the amount of airflow you would have to blow down in your basement. Can you do it? Can you actually create a very warm environment? Absolutely. You would have to have consistent warm air blowing at such a great rate. But you know what you're going to do? If you go over to your walls, what's going to happen? You're going to have a wet surface because you've taken the temperature and you've started to create this thermal exchange, and now all my walls are going to be wet. It's just like what happens when you have a cold surface outside and a warm, moisture surface on the inside. When you get up in the morning, all of a sudden you think, look at my windows are leaking, you know? It's like, no, that's just relative humidity collecting on a cool surface.
And how many people have replaced their windows over that?
Exactly.
But it's the same exact principle as when you have a glass of ice water and you get beads of water on the outside.
Right.
Same exact thing. The ice water is cold, and you've got warm, humid air surrounding it, and it's condensating right on the water.
Right.
Or right on the glass, anyway.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully we're describing the science well enough that people are understanding it.
Step three in the ventilation, you know, and I'd be more than happy to meet with anybody and talk to them about this.
You know,
continuous control ventilation will maintain dry, healthy conditions. How?
Right.
How can that do that? It can't. It's impossible for continuous ventilation, you know, of air that you have conditioned and paid for in your house, you know, and then you turn around because if you heated it or cooled it, depending on the time of year, you're drawing that from the upstairs by their claim. And guess where that air is eventually going to go?
Right outside. And, you know, what would happen? What do you think you would say, Rod, if you come home one day and your front door was standing wide open in the middle of the winter?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking about inviting outside air in taking this air that we paid to condition and just...
Right. Or just saying, hey, let me open my front door and let me open my back door and just let the air flow
through.
Just
get a nice breeze going through here.
Oh, look at the ventilation I've got.
Because it's just better for our house.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Not. Yeah. So, you know, there's... then... I read through the materials and I almost pull my hair out, but I had to laugh because some of the same companies that talk about doing this air exchange or the ventilation versus dehumidification, you know. And we will both agree that there is varying qualities of dehumidification that are happening out there. Very
absolutely,
very low cost, low quality dehumidification. They usually have a collection tank, don't have the ability to actually create what we call cubic volume air exchange to condition the air that you have in your basement. I'm just talking about you're filtering it and you're blowing this air that's drier out into your environment.
Right.
And then, yes, that is a continuous process, but we're not getting rid of it. We're not sending it outside after I paid to condition it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when you're talking about dehumidifying air, you're talking about dealing with the air that we already own.
Right.
Okay, and we're talking about finding the places that are leaky in your house and patching them, you know. And, you know, if we go around just in the basement, we talked about this 100 times on this show, but just in the basement, if you go around and you add up every little crack, every little crevice, every place that air is infiltrating your basement, you add all that up and you're probably looking at about a 6-inch square hole.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't think that can move a lot of air, you're wrong. So what we do is we say, okay, let's go around and we seal all that stuff up. And then we put a good filtration dehumidification system in the basement. Cures the whole problem, does it every time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we've been talking about basement, but these, you know, these units are sold for crawl spaces also.
One of the I noticed that.
I mean, we could probably do a whole show on this.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, we have crawl space science down, you know, so good. We understand what happens with crawl spaces. And, folks, if you've got a crawl space, one of the things that we want you to understand is that old building science used to say a vented dirt crawl space was an ability for the bad conditioned air to expel out of your crawl space so it was not, you know, drawing up into the subfloor structure or creating this unhealthy environment. We know mm-hmm. that to be a false statement now. We know that you have to have a sealed vents, a sealed encapsulated crawl space.
And then to dehumidify it.
Right. It's a four-step process when you're dealing with a crawl space. But, you know, a claim that's made that says trying to seal a crawl space will not address indoor moisture accumulation from normal activities, nor will it expel the harmful air contaminants. Yeah, I put a note by that and just said, wow. Because
crazy.
I've never heard something so crazy in my life. If you have a crawl space, vented or not, you have to understand – building science now shows that we have to treat this, even though you may not go into it, you have to treat it like habitable living space. You have to isolate it from the Earth's environment. You have to control moisture. You have to seal off all ability for air to exchange through if there's vents. And you have to dehumidify. Those are four-step process.
None of those steps had anything to do with ventilation.
Yeah, none.
Because it's not, you know... For one thing, if you have a vented crawl space, that's the biggest energy penalty in your entire house. We can talk about that when we come back from our break if you want. But, you know, these are just outrageous claims. Whoever designed this just clearly doesn't know anything about building science.
I agree.
You know, I can't say that strong enough. I mean, there's other words that I would use, but I'd probably get thrown off the radio if I did, you know. So we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we're bashing the whole industry here, but we don't care.
Well, we're bashing bad building science.
Yeah, it's building science that just really isn't thought through.
Right.
Which is a shame. And we know, like I was talking about before the break, if you ventilate a crawl space, okay, for one, it's just a huge, huge energy penalty.
Sure.
Okay, you're drawing in outside air. Most of the time, your ductwork is going through the crawl space. If you have a crawl space, that's where your ductwork is. So we put the air coming out of our furnace at, let's say it comes out at, I'm just going to pick out easy numbers. I really don't know what the numbers are. But let's say it comes out at 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're trying to make our home 70 degrees. So let's say that that air then goes down through a vented crawl space. It's in the wintertime. Very cold. So you've got cold air ventilating through this crawl space. And that metal ductwork conducts the energy pretty good.
That's right. You've got a thermal change.
Yeah, thermal exchange going on there. So let's say that air has to go, just to pick out an easy number, 30 feet through this crawl space. So in 30 feet, when it comes out of your register, that 100-degree air is probably closer to 65.
Right.
Which means you're never going to reach the 70, which means your furnace has to run continually.
Right.
And all because you've entered your crawl space.
Or you've got to turn it up even hotter to try and get it to that comfortable level so you are using it more. You're using more energy. Back to the crawl spaces one more time for me, though. I tell you what, you know, if you're, you know, even if you sealed off or didn't, and you know, one of the claims is, you know, this is a better process than having a vented crawl space, which, you know,
But that's what they're talking about, isn't it?
Well, it is, but they're saying, you know, we can, you know, a vent doesn't create an air pressure, which this does because it's actually inducing cubic volume air flow. So, in other words, you're sucking the air out of the crawl space. Folks, you know, if you don't realize it, the airborne irritants, mold spores, the things that come and exhaust from the soils, and, you know, these are the things, these are the allergens that we want to isolate your home from. We don't want to stir them up in the air and create vacuum exchange.
Because you're never going to get rid of them out of the earth. You're never going to eradicate the earth of allergens.
That's right. So that's why when I said before, and I want to make sure that this point is really understood, you have to treat your crawl space like habitable living space now, even though you may never use it. You have to treat it like that. You can't just let it go. You can't, you know, put a something in there that's going to exhaust the air. And how many times do we go in? I mean, we've been in commercial buildings and stuff where you see these big, huge blower fans, and you walk in and the air smells worse because it's stirring up all of these allergens. And, you know, we've been into commercial businesses where the people say, oh, it just smells so bad. And we're like, yeah, absolutely. And it's because it's coming from your crawl space. You know, we have to encapsulate that. You have to treat it like it's a habitable living space. And then we can do our four-step process. And the last is to condition that air because there's going to be air down there. But if we can filter it and dehumidify it, we can take care of a lot of the allergens' ability to continue to grow, i.e. mold, dust mite droppings, things like that. When relative humidity is lowered to a certain point, you know, these things don't thrive.
Right. So. Well, you know, and I read the thing that they had in here about the dust mites as well. And, you know, picking on that particular subject, I don't see how this is ever going to get rid of a dust mite.
Right.
It's not going to change the physical properties so the dust mite cannot survive. And, you know, we know that, as you just said, that the dust mite droppings are the number one household allergen. I just don't get it. How is this going to get rid of it? I don't even see their thinking outside of the fact that maybe they're thinking they can lower the relative humidity, which is outrageous.
Yeah. You know, and then as part of the same thing, you know, I guess they're trying to market all aspects of this bad building science, you know. certain companies who are...
They don't want to leave anything out.
Yeah. Who, you know, are talking about these air exchangers on one hand are saying, you know, let's get rid of this air, turning around and saying, well, let's sell you an air purifier, which is going to kill all of the pollutants, you know, that are in your home, you know, by the use of UV light, things like that. And I'm saying, well, why would you need an air purifier if you're doing air exchange? Because remember, we've got the healthy conditioned air that's miraculously already appearing in upstairs. I don't know how it ever appeared up there, because by the introduction of you know, an air exchanger, I'm drawing all that air downstairs to do these miraculous things that are never going to happen. But where's that air coming from? It's coming from the outside, and that's not conditioned air. So, then they turn around when I say an air purifier,
and also, there would be, okay, is that purifier going to be able to purify air at the rate of 100 cubic foot per minute?
Exactly.
Because that's what you're throwing outside, 40 to 180, you know, wherever that lands. Is that air purifier able to purify at that rate?
Well, and the reason you purify air is to condition it to keep it, right?
Well, I would assume,
So why would you, on one hand, say we should get rid of it with an air exchanger, and on the other hand, say we should purify it and keep it? You see,
it doesn't make a lot of sense. No, I guess I wasn't thinking about it that way.
It's a mixed message, you know. It's like, which is it? I mean, do you people believe in your product of air exchanging so much that you have to, on the opposite end, go, but we should purify and keep that air, condition it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's science and technology behind UV light killing, you know, pollutants as it's going through your HVAC system. I mean, great technology about that. But don't tell me, on one hand, that I need to create a healthier environment by getting rid of the air in my house, which has to be replaced, and it's coming in from outside, which is unconditioned air, and then tell me on the opposite end, though, but we should purify it. Why am I going to purify the air that's going to go out the air exchanger? You know, again.
It just doesn't make a lot of
sense. No, it doesn't.
Now, the UV, that I assume is an ozone generator. I didn't read into that.
No, it's not an ozone generator.
Okay,
it's just UV light.
Okay.
Yeah, they just do the UV light, which, you know, there's great science against say that adding those UV lights does have the ability. But I don't get it when you're turning around saying, hey, we should use these to have a fresher, cleaner, a drier, or not drier, but healthier.
They are making the claim that these vents are going to dry out the basement.
Yeah, vents will do it, but then yet we want to create that cleaner, healthier environment by having the air purifier, which once you've purified and killed, you know, these airborne pollutants and airborne irritants, I'm going to take that air and I'm going to put it out through your rim joist.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Boy, that's a right hand and left hand not knowing what either are doing.
As we know, though, and as we've talked about 1,000 times on this show, if you want to get rid of moisture, you have to dehumidify. You cannot replace it with other air.
Right.
If you want to get rid of contaminants, you have to filter. I mean, the UV light thing I have not really researched. Obviously, you've done more research than I have. And if that's a viable thing, fine, whatever. It probably costs money to produce the UV light.
Oh, yeah, it does. There's an energy, I don't want to call it a penalty, but there's an energy cost to it.
Okay.
What those are, I can't tell you.
Well, there's simple machines out there, and I don't want to just start pushing the one that we sell because I don't want people to think this entire thing is self-serving. But there are machines out there that will filter the air at the same time that they're dehumidifying it.
Right.
You know, not just the ones we sell.
Right.
But that's the ticket. You have to filter and dehumidify the air, and you have to do it at a good enough rate.
You know. Here's probably the best way to think about this. If you think that this air exchanging system is so great, go to the local hospital and see if they've got them installed. Absolutely, because that's not how they condition air. And you're talking about some of the places that they have to have levels of air quality that are at a higher level of standard, you know, because of surgeries that are taking place, people that, you know, are sick, people that have respiratory issues. They have to have air quality at such a higher rate than probably what we would ever consider.
Well, they would never just start inviting germs to come in.
That's right.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So, and exchanging with outside air is just, you know, that's...
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And again, I want to make it perfectly clear and throw this out there. If anybody does not agree with what we're saying, it's not as though we know everything there is on the planet, but we do fully understand what happens in your home with building science.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we invite you to come over. The coffee's on us, whatever. We'll sit down. We'll discuss it. And if you can change our mind, then we will get on this show and we will say that we were wrong.
Yep, I would.
You know, I don't see it happening, but...
Yeah, I'm not really fearing that right now.
but you know what? If there's something magical that somebody else knows that we don't know, I fully invite you to come over.
Sure.
Our shop is at 5153 Northeast 17th Street, or you can call us. And, you know, if you're out of town, you want to just call me and say that you're full of it, that's fine too.
Yeah, get a hold of us at 800-556-5697.
Or a local number at 289-1606. Now, you can also get on MidwestBasementSystems.com.
Right.
You can go to the About Us section on the left-hand side, go down to the radio show, and all of our archived radio shows are there. This one will be on there soon in case you want to re-listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get even madder. I don't know. But hopefully you didn't buy one of these. And
That's just it. If you do have one and you're –
better off taking it out.
Yeah, you are shutting it off for sure.
All righty. Well, we're out of time, and we'll talk to you next week.